Clap your hands unto the Lord. Lord, we give Him glory and praise. Jesus, we love You. God, we lift You up today. You're worthy. You're holy, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated for a moment. Amen. It is such a privilege to be back in State College. This is a special place to us, as Pastor kind of explained. And it's such an honor to be here, and I just give honor to them and all that they've done and do. This is Center Point, and it is the center point of my life. Everything leading up to it and everything after it is because of it. And what God is doing here in this place. Amen. And I'm so grateful for them. I do have a word from the Lord for us. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. Brother Wilson, I know this happens a lot here, but I think I have part two or part three for the preachers, however you look at it. But praise God. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and beside there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses." Somebody say, "You're a witness." Amen. "Saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it?" I want to speak to you today on the subject of witness, not a waste. Witness, not a waste. Would you pray with me? Ask the Lord to help us. Jesus, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You've already done in this place today, God. We thank You for what You're going to do. I pray that there would be a move of Your Spirit right now, that Your word would go forth and sink into our minds, Lord. I bind every spirit and force that would try to oppose it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Witness, not waste. I began to think, Lord, this is kind of a simple title, isn't it? What a waste. I mean, what is a waste? And it's exactly what you think it is, what the dictionary would say it is. A waste is defined as this. To be a waste is just as it sounds: consumed, dried up, unprofitable material, spent thoughtlessly, used inefficiently or inappropriately, or missed opportunities. And that is what the accuser would try to tell us about what we're doing here. The world would try to tell you it's a waste. Look at what we do here. What? They're not getting anywhere. They can't have a church here. Look at the size of this over here, and all of our knowledge and all of our power. What is the church doing? They would try to tell you it's a waste of time. But I'm here to tell you that God intended you to be a witness, not a waste. Amen. A witness is someone who is, you think of it like a court today, they have a testimony. They witness something. They experience something. They know the truth. And it's the same meaning in the Hebrew and in the Greek. One that is a testimony. It has a testimony. And we have a testimony because of what He did. Amen. Praise God. So it's just this idea that we're living in such an interesting time that in our country, we see the immorality on one hand rising, and the division, and just trouble, and the war everywhere, and there's just this growing divide between the church and the world, and it's a troublesome time. But God is in control, and He has a purpose for us to be a witness for Him. The church is not without purpose. Amen. It's I read an interesting article the other day. Some of you probably read it. It was in the New York Times, where they went in and they uncovered the tomb where Jesus was laid. And they didn't come out and say it in the article, but you could kind of read between the lines. There's some there holding their breath, kind of, what are we going to find? You know, no one's looked at it since, they say, 12 or 1300. And they uncovered, because they said it was going to collapse, and there's this big archaeologist coordination there. But they pulled that marble stone back, and what they found was the original limestone. And praise God, nothing was there. Amen. He is risen. Amen. The world and the university and this attitude that we're just searching, we're just gonna find some way to disprove everything, and we're in control of the universe. He died for us, and He came. He's risen. And we can be His witnesses. Amen. So I thought, why do we struggle with this? Why is it that the devil's always trying to snuff out our witness, it seems, or snuff out the effect of, where you can't do that. You can't have revival. You can't do what you feel like you need to do. There's a better answer, or we can solve our own problems. Or that Facebook is donating billions of dollars to cure disease. And the World Health Organization, and they want to cure disease, and these medical institutions, and they're coming together, and if we pour enough money into this and enough minds and enough planning, we can solve the world's problems. I'm here to tell you that's not going to do it. What did Jesus say in Luke 4:18? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that were bruised." Then He said, He went on, that this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. His ministry didn't end when He ascended. It was just the beginning of a witness in the church of His power and His glory. Hallelujah. There's still a witness. It is not a waste. Praise God. Praise God. I would tell you that, I said, what does it have to do with this portion of Scripture? I don't have time to go into Isaiah. Some say it's like a mini Bible within itself. And I would do it injustice to try and explain the timeline and the context we're at. But, well, I will say this much. Isaiah, he saw something. In the beginning chapters of Isaiah, he saw the throne. He was touched by God. And he saw the glory of the Lord. And he was a great proponent of the oneness of God. He prophesied through these difficult times where the kingdoms were divided, the north and the south kingdom, and the Assyrian threat. The Babylon armies were coming. And eventually it shifts to where he's more speaking in the latter half of the book to the remnant. And that is what he's talking about here, that these people that will come back from Babylon are witnesses of God's glory and power. Because Babylon had all these false idols. They had all these false gods. It was this great place of knowledge and where they worshiped whatever they wanted to. And it was dynamic and it was exciting. But they had no, those idols, those false gods, they had no witness. They had no testimony to go with them. They couldn't point to anything that had ever happened by them. But we are His witnesses. They were brought through the sea. They were provided for. Moses struck the rock and water came out. Israel had this testimony. They were His witnesses. But Israel is a type of the church, understand? And we are His witnesses in this New Testament church. So all the nations and people with their gods do not have a witness left to say anything ever came to pass. You got to get something in your mind to understand this. It took me a while to get this. When we read these things in the Old Testament, what they went through, they walked through things physically that we walk through spiritually. The things they went through physically, coming to the promised land and all that had to happen come to pass, we walk through it spiritually. So, Israel means this, Prince of God or Soldier of God. You're in the church, you're a soldier of God. It's not without purpose. It's not without orders. It's not without effect. Some fell away, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, Paul said, "And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." So their witness was, they were robbed of their witness when they turned to these false gods, and they fell into this snare and this trap. Some fell away. So we've got to stay focused on what he has for us. Amen. We have this purpose to be a witness for him. Praise God. Like I said before, witness just means testimony in Hebrew. It was a passive observer or transaction of event. If I wanted to buy a piece of property, in the Old Testament, we didn't have this big paper trail. I got an agreement with Michael, and maybe I got Sergio or somebody else said, "You're the witness, and if we got a problem, we're coming back to you." That was how it worked. So, but it was oftentimes also there was a witness that they left of what God had done. When they carried the ark out in that Jordan, it was bank full, and they began to wade into that thing, not knowing if they were going to sink or not. And that water divided, and they set up the 12 stones in place as a witness to future generations of what God had done. Amen. So it's a witness, as I said, it's a testimony of God's power and God's glory. God still works through men. Amen. He still works through men. He needs a man or a lady to do what he would do in this earth. So it also said one of the Ten Commandments, do not bear false witness. Think of the Pharisees and those who had false witness. The life that was against what he was doing, against what he would have for us. I don't want to bear false witness. I don't want to bear a half witness. I want to bear witness of it. Amen. Praise God. So, there was this thread in the Old Testament, witness of power. In Numbers 17:7, when Moses was, Aaron was going to be selected as priest. And it says, "And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness, housed the ark of the testimony, which was the witness of God's power and glory." But the tabernacle of witness, it just stuck in my mind because it's a type of Christ. It's a type of what the tabernacle is, of what he would do, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When you obey in faith, and repent, and you're baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost, he's in us. We're that tabernacle. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If he dwells in me, I ought to be a witness. Amen. There ought to be something. It's not just passive. It's active. I want to be the witness he wants me to be. Not a waste. I don't want it to be wasted by the world. To be troubled by the things in this world. Praise God. So, I started to study this. And Peter, the things that Peter witnessed in Acts 4, 9 through 10, says, we this day be examined. Peter, as the man was healed, he said, Peter and John were going to the temple. And they fixed their eyes on the man that was lame. He said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The man was healed, and I'm paraphrasing, going a little fast, but then there was such an uproar, such a gathering because of what God had done that they were brought before this council. And he says in Acts 4, verse 9 through 10, it says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here for you whole. That word impotent means lacking power and ability. But by their own power, they could do nothing. He couldn't heal himself. No doctor, no physician could ever do what God can do. And the Spirit was there. It was the Spirit, and their faith was healing physically. So can we be effective? I want to be an effective witness. First of all, I can't. There's nothing about me. Paul said, I come to you not with enticing words, by the Spirit. I can't be educated enough. I can't. I believe in education. I believe in bettering ourselves in any way we can. But it's only by the Spirit we can do anything, or we can be an effective witness. It's only by the Spirit that we're going to overcome these things. The first thing we've got to do is get in alignment with him. Amen. Elijah was a witness for God, subject to like passions as we are, as it says in James 5 and 17. It says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that he might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You think of the altar. The altar of Baal, and I'm going through a lot of scripture here. I want to get this in our minds that the 400 prophets, 450, I think it says, of Baal that gathered and they'd broken down the old altar, and built their altar, and Elijah said, choose you this day who you will serve. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And he let them go for a while, and they tried and they cried out, and he gets to the altar. He rebuilds the altar. He says, pour the water on it. Pour water on it 3 times. And then he called to the Lord. You know, that fire fell down. And they saw the power of God. And 1 Kings 18, 36 through 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, be it known unto you this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. It was the glory of God. Power, turn people back. We have this power to be witnesses. I don't have any power on my own. God has all the power. Right? How do I get there? It's not by anything I can do, but because of what he's done. When he gave this commission, said in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost part of the earth. That word power is dunamis in the Greek. It is not just a little firework. You know, it means like dynamite. It means like, oh, Brother Sergio, have they had you shoot a 50 caliber yet? I mean, that's power. Superior power. Overwhelming power. Explosive. It's dynamite. So there's a cost. It means this, specifically miraculous power. By implication, a miraculous ability, abundance, strength. So without that first, there's no power. Why do we have such a problem in churches today? We're seeing strange things. Many buildings are empty. Some of you read about the buildings in Europe that they've turned them into skate parks. They've turned them into anything. They're abandoned because they walked away from the doctrine. They walked away from this message. You've got to have the power before you can do anything. Not that I get power, but him working through me as a witness of what God can do. Praise God. So they desperately need this today. Churches need, people need the truth. The idea where you can do what you want and just take the parts that you want, it just ends in death. It ends in destruction of people. So God is still looking for someone to be a witness today. And this sounds simple, I know. You say, well, duh, it's the purpose of the church. But I'm telling you, the world would try to waste your witness. What God wants to do in your life cannot be turned back by the enemy. It cannot be wasted by the enemy. If you'll let him make you a witness, praise God. Let me clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. Praise God. I'm coming to a close quickly here. But be a witness. John 15:26 says, but when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. They were just men. Talk to the disciples. They were just men like you and I. There wasn't anything special about them, but they spent some time with the Master. They spent some time with him. He said, ye also shall bear witness. Praise God. God still needs somebody to be a witness today. I feel that here. I'm not going to go any farther than that. But I am going to say some things right now. All of that over there has raised up a great witness. Man's knowledge, man's ability. Look at what we can do. Look at what we can build. And we feel about this big in the midst of it. What can I possibly do? I'm not anything. God will still have a witness today. In the midst of this, God will have a witness in State College of his power and his glory. It will not be wasted. It will not be turned back. I saw this when Brother Wilson was preaching, when we began to worship. I saw the flood coming in. I saw waters filling like a tsunami over this place. And God will draw out a witness through the midst of that, a remnant that is left. No, it won't all happen in a moment. No, they won't all be saved. Some will turn away. Some will turn to idols. God will have a witness. God needs a witness. He will have a remnant. It will not be turned back. If you're willing, I want to be a witness. Somebody say it in their heart. God, whatever it takes, let me be a witness. Let me be part of it. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Praise God. Position yourself to be a witness. I went through a lot of scriptures. Get one thing today. You've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. You can't kick the accuser out without being born of the water and the Spirit. You need to go down to the water in the name of Jesus. You need to pray through some things. God will meet you if you will step forward, if you will come. God wants to make somebody a witness here today. I don't have anything better to say than that. He will make you a witness if you will. You're not too uneducated. You're not too simple. As Brother Wilson said, move on down the road. It's time. It's time to move on down the road. There's too many that are lost. There's too many that are dying. Every day there's something in the news that just makes you want to weep. There's a generation that's lost. God needs a witness. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Oh, praise God. Paul said this, and I'm done. In Acts 26, he was speaking to Agrippa. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things which I will appear unto thee. His purpose was to be a minister and a witness in this world. It hasn't changed, folks. As Pastor always used to tell, there's no amen at the book of Acts. There's no amen at the end of it. We're living in this day. Praise God.